Kane is in the building.
Guys, you know how much we love Liberty shirts. Their flannels are unbelievable, and when we were job hunting, we wore Liberty shirts for our interviews and now to work every day. We thought Liberty was our secret until we started seeing their shirts on TV on Fox Sports every Saturday and Sunday. Now we know they are for real, but they are still our secret. Save 10% on your order when you enter the promo code 3PEAT at checkout. Welcome back to another episode of the 3PEAT podcast. This is season 4, episode 8. Another great episode for you listeners, so get ready for some good content. I'm your host for this week, Alex Castle, and I'm joined with
Josh Romowitz.
And we got a little rotation in the lineup this week. Our usual other co-host, Stephen Benazzo, cannot join us tonight. So this evening, we have the pleasure of our social media guy, TJ Hummel. He's going to be our third co-host today. TJ, welcome back, my friend. Great to have you on as a co-host tonight.
Thank you so much, boys. It's always nice to be back. I'm ready to get into the sports, man. We've had a crazy couple of days in the world of sports. I'm excited to get down dirty.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things that has happened in the world of sports is hoops is back. The NBA is back. Very exciting stuff. Love basketball season, even pairing it with football right now and what we got going on with baseball. It's a great time, but we gotta lock in on hoops right now. And these first 2 days of hoops have been quite crazy. The Knicks winning in double overtime last night against Boston. I'll get into that when we talk about more Knicks. The Nets going 0-1 their first game of the season, but we'll talk about that as well. And we're even seeing some of these young guys start to pick up where they left off. LaMelo Ball going off against, I think it was the Pacers that they played, where he had a great game. So a lot of great basketball. First, we'll start off with you, Josh. The Nets losing to the previous NBA champs, 127-104. No Kyrie Irving. I'm not going to knock the Nets for that, though. That's a whole separate issue. That's a personal issue. But you are easily the biggest Nets fan that I know, and I'm sure this is not how you wanted to start the season off. So what are your takeaways from this first game?
As you can see, Castle, I'm terrified that the Nets won't make the playoffs right now. I'm so scared right now. The season is over, and the season right now, because the Nets aren't going to win another game.
Sounds like the talk that I'll be delivering with the Giants later. But
no, but in all seriousness, it's one game. It's a long season, 82 games. There's a lot to learn from. Honestly, this type of loss could not have come at a better point, being the first game of the year. Giannis proved why he won Finals MVP last year and worked on what were his weaknesses. So no disrespect to him at all. People said he couldn't shoot. So what did he do against the Nets? Came out and killed us with his shooting. His free throws were an issue in the finals. He knocked down his free throws. So he looked like an even better and an even stronger player. So that's going to be scary for the rest of the league. The Nets, it was a bad loss. Bad losses are good losses, in my opinion, when they're this early in the season, because it's a learning point for the team. I like what I saw from Kevin Durant. He did his thing, which everyone in the world kind of expected him to do. But other than that, Harden did well. Patty Mills off the bench was great. But I wasn't really impressed with the other guys. And I don't really know if that would fall on the performance or more so how Nash did his rotations. I love Nick Claxton, but I don't think just yet he should be starting at center. I would say probably LaMarcus Aldridge for the time being, and then let Claxton ease his way into center. Paul Millsap getting 5 minutes, that's not going to cut it for me, because we brought Millsap in for his experience leadership, but also his toughness and defensive ability. And clearly the Nets' weak point already this year and all of last year, as everyone who watched basketball knows, the Nets' weakness was defense. So I didn't agree with Millsap not playing the entire second half and only 5 minutes in the entire game, but I'm not really worried because he's going to get minutes. Nash said that he was only testing these lineups, these rotations, to see how they worked out. Bruce Brown didn't even play until the final 3 minutes. That's going to change. I'm not a big fan of James Johnson. I know he's a tough guy, but he should not be getting the minutes over Bruce Brown and Paul Millsap, because personally, there's more skill between the two of them. And James Johnson was supposed to be a tough guy, and he got bodied by Giannis every single time he was defending him. But it's a long season, like I said. I'm not worried about one little loss. I know with or without Kyrie, this Nets team is a potential deep playoff team. But what does scare me is there's a bunch of teams that are up and coming in the East. I really underestimated the Knicks, for example. I knew Julius Randle was the real deal, but I didn't really know how guys like Kemba Walker would play this year. I don't know if there's another jump to RJ Barrett's game, but he showed in game one that he's capable of being that guy. I personally don't like Evan Fournier for personal reasons, but dropping 30 on his former team, that's a big deal. So the Knicks could be a scary sleeper team in the East this year. Chicago Bulls, they're going to be dangerous with their new weapons. So all in all, I'm just excited Hoops is back, because it's a great sport to watch. So I'll be watching some basketball for the next 4 months.
Absolutely. And a lot of great points that you brought up, especially as someone who's a Knicks fan looking at the Nets. I agree. I don't think that rotation was favorable. I liked Bruce Brown in the playoffs a lot. I think he should have been used more. Millsap's a solid guy. All of your points are very fair, and I don't think this is a game that needs to be worried about. You know, no red alert like that. I think the Bucks were riding high off of this win, and I think, you know, the fact that they knocked the Nets out in a 7-game series to make it to the finals, I'm sure those had elements. But I think it's very fair what you said. You know, it's only Nash's second year, so he's got to experiment a little bit. But before we get to the Knicks game last night, you know, I'll talk Knicks, TJ will talk Boston. I do have a question for you, Josh, because it was brought up earlier. If you had to take a guess, what do you see the future with Kyrie? You know, we've had a bunch of different people in the sports world debate it. You have people who are saying that he should just get it, that he's being selfish. You have other people who are saying that his opinion and choice should be respected. Do you see him eventually just getting the vaccine and joining the team? Because now he can't, you know, originally he was going to play away games, but now the Nets are saying no. Or do you think he's going to continue to take a stance?
It's tough. No one really has a good understanding on what the future is going to be. The best I can do is say, I know he wants to be a Net, so I don't think the Nets will trade him. That's the most I can almost guarantee without actually guaranteeing it, because there's no real certainty there. I do think, just based off what Kyrie has said, he wants to play this year. So I do think whether he ends up getting it or regulations change, that come December, January time, he will be back on the court for the Nets. So there's definitely optimism there, but I wouldn't say like a serious concern, because at least the Nets are going in the direction where they're prepared for it in case if he doesn't need to, if he doesn't end up playing at all. So they're prepared for the worst. But if he does end up playing, then it's a great kind of surprise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you made a great point that the Nets are prepared to play with or without him. And I think they'll still be a very dominant team. Very interesting story. We'll continue to follow that. But we got to talk about this game last night. with Boston and the Knicks. And TJ, before I give my take on the Knicks, I want to hear what you say, what you have to say about Boston, new coach, some new faces on the court. I mean, Jaylen Brown was incredible last night. 48 points, 16 for 30 from the field. I mean, the guy was knocking down threes like it was nothing. What is your takeaway from this game, both good and bad? And how do you feel about this Boston team overall going into the season?
Well, first things first, what an incredible game to watch as the first game of the season for the Celtics. Was it the first for the Knicks as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was opening. It was the first real opening night.
Opening
yeah. Night. So what an incredible opening night. You know, they gave the Knicks fans a thrill that they haven't felt in a long time, and I think that's really awesome. The outcome of the game, I'm not a fan of because I'm a Celtics fan. But we'll start with the bad. Jason Tatum didn't play great. He still came away with 20 points and 11 boards, few assists, but he shot 23% from the field and 13% from the three. So that's, I mean, it's not concerning. It's, I mean, it could be first game jitters. It could be something else. I'm not too sure. Defensively, they could have been a lot better. I mean, it went double OT, so I guess defensively for both teams, it wasn't a great game. But now we'll go with the good. As you touched on before, Jaylen Brown absolutely balled out. I haven't seen that from a Celtics player in a bit. Tatum's done it in the past, but it's nice to see Jaylen Brown go off on opening night. Robert Williams balled out as well. He came away with 16 points, 10 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 5 blocks. That's our big man at the moment. So it's nice to see him step up. Grant Williams played well as well. And how about that dagger from Marcus Smart?
Smart is, I think, the most ideal well-rounded point guard for this Boston team. He can do what he needs to do on both sides of the ball, and I think that play alone just shows it.
What I really like about him is that he's kind of slept on, if you will. Like, everybody knows him for his defensive play style, but no one really like takes into consideration like his offensive game. Like, he can dish it, he can shoot. He's not the most consistent guy, but when he needs to be, he can be.
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember watching highlights of him at Oklahoma State and just saying to myself, here's a guy that's going to bring so much to a team on both sides of the ball. And I think last night was another clear example of it. And, you know, with the new coaching and everything, you know, kinks are going to be figured out and whatnot, but don't be surprised if Smart ends up being one of the top three producers for your Celtics.
I wouldn't be shocked. I'm actually, that's what I'm hoping for. They need something out of their starting point guard, as the past few seasons have shown they really haven't had a solid, true point guard. And speaking of which, two former point guards from my team joined yours.
Yeah. We got to talk about my Knicks. I appreciate you giving the Knicks the credit, Josh, saying that they were underestimated. I have to agree. I didn't expect what I saw last night. Kemba Walker looks like the guy that we want. And he looks like he's going to play the way that we want, which is huge. Fournier, I mean, some of the threes that he was making, his shot looks so smooth. Those two guys alone, I think, are going to increase our offensive production tremendously. The thing that concerns me is the defense. there were a lot of times where I felt like we were lacking, that the defense wasn't in sync. And I don't know if this is what something that Thibodeau needs to do or, you know, just the chemistry, but that's my biggest concern is defense. And that's what we struggled with a lot last season, especially in that playoff series against Atlanta. We just could not stop them from shooting the ball. And I think that also goes back to being more aggressive on the boards, which either of you can feel free to interject. But I thought I saw improvement. Without Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel, I thought we were rebounding pretty nicely. So I think we'll get some improvement there. But overall, what a fight. I think Thibodeau and getting Kemba and Fournier is just bringing something back to this Knicks team that has been lost for a very long time. And I think that this is the start of a great season. Am I saying we're going all the way? Of course not. There are so many other talented teams in the East. You know, without even Brooklyn in the equation, like you said, we have Boston. We have the new and improved Chicago team. We got to see what the Hornets are going to do this season. You know, there are a bunch of teams out there that have different aspects to them in the East that will make it tough. But overall, I think that it's going to be a very good season for the Knicks. And I'm looking forward to continuing to watch it. It's finally going to be a season for a New York team that I could actually get excited about.
I just want to jump on to one of your points.
Yeah.
I think one thing that, I mean, Knicks fans realize, and it was a huge loss in the playoffs, was not having the presence of Mitchell Robinson. I think he's probably one of the most underrated guys the Knicks have. Yes, it would be nice if he could develop an offensive game besides just dunking, and that's what Knicks fans have been hoping and praying for. But just his ability to be physical on the boards, offensive and defensive boards, I believe he ended the game with 17 boards. He just dominated the Celtics. But that comes to no surprise because that's what he does. The only issue with him is just staying on the court. Whether it's foul trouble or injuries, that's kept him off the court most of last year and the year before. So if he's healthy, he's a beast for the Knicks. He'll average close to 2 blocks, close to 10 rebounds a game. But the issue is his health. So if he's able to stay on the court, the Knicks got a beast of a center. But if not, then, like you said, Castle, one of the big weak spots besides defense is the physicality, the rebounding. Then that's just asking Julius Randle, Obi Toppin to do even more than they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and that's another great point that you brought up about Robinson is that I think his injury definitely brought down the morale a little bit, you know, because I think he got injured twice, if I'm correct. Yeah, he got injured twice, and it was
twice in the second half of the season.
Right. And it was a nasty injury, and he's a young guy, and I think that definitely brought down the team, but you're right. And I think when Noel and Gibson get back into the mix, we're going to get better on the boards. Toppin, you know what? I'm a little iffy about the guy, to be honest. I don't really know where he's going to fit in. I don't know what his game is like, but I need to see him be more aggressive. I'm not counting him out. I'm not saying he was a bad pick because I was excited when we drafted him, but I don't know. I got to see more from him before I can give more of an evaluation. But overall, very excited to see this Knicks team. I plan on making multiple appearances at the Garden this season, so it's going to be a lot of fun. But we got to talk more general now. Now that we've dove into our teams and we got to talk about this Ben Simmons news. I mean, it is the hottest news in the NBA right now.
Kyrie Irving should be thanking him for taking the spotlight off of him.
Seriously. And you know what? It's crazy because in a world right now with the pandemic and the vaccines and all that, this news with Ben Simmons is still trumping Kyrie's stuff. And I agree. Even though as a person and how he handles himself, I'm not a full, you know, I'm not a big fan of Kyrie. Totally respect him as a player, of course. I think he's if not the best, he's right there for top guards in the league. But the way that Ben Simmons has carried himself during this whole situation is just, it's awful. There's no way of sugarcoating it. Not showing up to stuff, getting fined. I mean, it's bad. And you know what, though? You got to look at the other side. Sixers aren't handling it too well. Their asking price for Simmons is just not realistic. Why is a team going to want to go after a guy whose jumper hasn't improved, who's not trying to work with the current team that he's on? Every day that Simmons continues to do what he's doing, it's decreasing his value, and it's also hurting the team, and the team's not realizing that. They need to, you know, it's like anything with an athlete. You need to market yourself to show what you're worth. And how are they going to see that Simmons has improved his shot or he's still a top defensive guard if he's not playing? So I want both of your opinions on this. Josh, we'll hear from you first. What needs to happen for this situation to move into the right direction?
Well, it's funny to think about just because when you hear this story, it's just so laughable because you have Ben Simmons, who many people think he's one of the best point guards in the league. But like every player, he's got a weakness, and his is his ability to shoot from the outside or even away from the paint, so mid-range too. He's one of the best defenders, and he's one of the best ball handlers. But this all stems from last year, towards the end of the season, where they were in the Game 7 against Atlanta to send them to the conference finals, and he did not take a single shot in the fourth quarter, most notably where he had a wide-open layup, no defense, that he passed it up to pass it to end up losing that game. And then immediately after, he demanded to be traded from Philly players, coaches, organization, everyone saying, yeah, we need to get rid of Ben Simmons. So there's obviously tension there. It's been rumored Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons haven't liked each other for almost 3 years now. It's a long time. And over the summer, Ben Simmons is saying he wants out. Philly is saying, we want to make this work. Clearly, that's not going to work if Ben Simmons doesn't want to be a part of this organization, saying he's not going to show up to things. Fast forward to training camp, Ben Simmons said he does not want to show up. He wants to be traded. So he gets fined, doesn't show up. But when he sees how much money he's going to be losing out, he shows up and practices, but he's half-assing it. He has his phone in his pocket. The team does a huddle in the middle of the court. He's already in the locker room. There's pictures of it. I don't know what is going on in Philly, because their asking price is ridiculous. They want basically a superstar player to replace Ben Simmons, but no team is going to want Ben Simmons right now. So the best bet, honestly, and I could see this happening down the road if things continue to escalate, is Philly just cuts him. Why should Philly not only be dealing with his contract, which they signed him for a 5-year supermax like a year or two ago, but he's also a locker room cancer right now. All of the players have turned against him. The entire fan base has turned against him. Basically, the entire NBA has turned against him. So no one wants him right now. So why is Philly still optimistic that they can make things work with him and mend the relationship that's been well tarnished years ago, possibly? It just baffles me. I am glad that it's Philly, because I don't like Philly, so I'm glad if it were to happen to a team and a fan base, it's Philly. But it's just funny now to see from an outside perspective how terribly both parties are handling this.
It's baffling, like you said. And if I was a Sixers fan right now, I'd be pulling my hair. But fortunately, I'm not. But TJ, you're a Sixers fan for a minute, and you're pulling your hair out with the whole Ben Simmons thing that's happening right now. what would you want the organization to do? Would you want them to continue to hold out to see if a team will be willing to trade something remotely for what they're looking for? Or would you say what Josh said, which was a very interesting point, something that I didn't even think of, and just cut Simmons and cut the legs off and move on? How would you want them to handle it?
Well, honestly, I would really hate to be a Sixers fan right now, but if I were one, I'd have to go with you, Fromowitz. I'd say cut them, like just cut it off. It's like trying to save like a dead limb off a tree. Like it's not gonna stay there forever. You're better off just cutting it before it does any more damage. And that's the same with Ben Simmons. Like it's come to the point where even other Philadelphia sports players are speaking out about it.
Yeah, Jason Kelsey today. Yeah,
Jason Kelsey. Like you write your own narrative. Everybody can complain all they want about how tough it is to play in Philly. Like he said, he just has to hold himself accountable. If he plays better, the city will love him. That last part I don't agree with, because I think the city is absolutely done with him. He's caused nothing but just turmoil for Philadelphia for the past almost year now.
I see what he's saying though about it, because all Philly wanted was him to show up, because he's contracted there, and perform. He's a basketball player. This is what he's paid to do. He's contracted to work for the 76ers organization. All the fans want is for their players who are on their team to show up and perform. And when one of your stars is openly saying he's not going to do that, would rather get traded, okay, that happens. But for your organization, though, to say, no, we're going to make this work, and clearly it's not going to. I think from the fans' perspective, if Ben was just willing to say, you know what, fine, the only way to market myself to go to a different team is to perform, then I think the fans would be a little more understanding. Granted, it's Philly, and who knows what they're thinking. They're just a different breed of sports fans. But I think they would at least handle it a little better if he was there performing.
I'm going to have to disagree a little bit here. I think I understand where you're coming from. And, like, I would want that, too, for my teams. But I think the damage is just too far done at this point. I wanted a lot out of Ben Simmons, too. Like, I watched him play in college. I wanted him to be a star. And he was for a while here, but I don't know what happened where he just woke up one day and just wants out of Philly. What he has to realize is he has to hold himself accountable. And he's kind of just in a world of doubt right now, just not owning up to what he's done. Like showing up to practice in sweatpants with his phone in his pocket, going to the locker room before team huddle. Like that's just childish. Like you see that in Little League when someone doesn't get their way. Like that's just not what you do in a professional business. Granted, it's sports, but at the end of the day, it's still a business. Like you're paid to go and play.
I think you both make some very, very compelling arguments. At the end of the day, it's very disrespectful what he is doing to the Sixers organization. And the way that I see it is that he was such a high prospect and his name and his likeness was inflated so quickly at such a young age in his career that now in his mind, he's saying, I'm Ben Simmons. And I know what I'm worth, and I don't need to deal with this because eventually a team's going to want me. But the reality is that he's still very young, and he's not realizing the damage that he's doing. And it's also very sad to see that no one on his team is advising him to handle this in any professional matter. That just also shows you that the people that he's surrounding himself with are not good, that they're waiting for him to get traded, new market, new contract. It's very upsetting. And I think that just goes to the whole business aspect of sports, is that when you don't affiliate yourself with the right people, you're not going to get the proper guidance. Because let's say that he gets cut by the Sixers, that's going to look a lot worse than if he gets traded to another team, because then that's going to show that people really gave up on him, and now he's going to be swimming in the deep end with no floaties, basically. So it's very frustrating, and that's my take. This is very big news. So if you guys wanted to interject anything else before we move on, the floor is open to either of you.
I think it's also like, it's shocking because he surrounded himself with what we thought are good business partners. He's represented by Rich Paul, who I believe is also LeBron James and Anthony Davis's.
Oh, he's part of that group.
Yes.
That makes it even more.
Yeah. So that's like what's also even more shocking when you throw the business side of sports in it. He was a top prospect, number one, 4-5 years ago, and is represented by one of the best agents and agencies in all of sports. And to see this possibly happen of him being cut is just mind-boggling. And it's hard to just wrap your head around it.
I was going to say, if his end goal is to eventually find another team, getting traded is going to be the best option for him, because, like, going on with Castle's point, it's just going to be more detrimental to not only himself and his agency, but also his ego. Like, that's what's going to be, like, the most hit here. Like, he's going to finally hit rock bottom. He's just kind of in this purgatory where he thinks he's up to this worth, but he doesn't realize what he's actually doing. He's just kind of dragging his own name in the dirt by acting this way.
It's the fact that he's represented by Rich Paul makes it even more interesting and more mind-boggling. But at the end of the day, the only person that he's hurting is himself. And I don't know when the realization will be made, but something will click. And when that happens, I look forward to talking about this, because this is a very interesting story. It's sad for Sixers fans, but it's an interesting thing to see in general. But the one upside that comes out of this is for you, Josh. Your Nets play the Sixers on Friday. So definitely not going to have Simmons playing.
They haven't ruled him out yet. So
really? They haven't ruled?
They're saying they're giving him a shot to show up to shoot around Friday morning, and they'll make their decision.
Okay, well, regardless, the Nets are going to be hungry for a win, and I definitely think this is taking a toll on the Sixers team. So it's going to be very interesting. We also got the Suns and the Lakers playing Friday. The Lakers are going to be looking to bounce back after that loss to Golden State. We got the Spurs and the Nuggets. We got the Raptors and the Celtics. We got Lonzo playing his old team, playing the Pelicans. So we got some good basketball coming up this weekend for sure. And we'll continue to talk about it. What an exciting season this is going to be. Now we got to flip the script here and talk gridiron. But before I do, just going back to the point about his representation, because this really was something interesting. It's Clutch Sports, and they represent LeBron James, AD, John Wall, Simmons, Lonzo Ball, Draymond Green, Zach LaVine, and more. So that, shout out to Josh, by the way, he just pulled that up. But that's huge. And, you know, you look at that list, and half of those guys are vets with rings.
Here's more stats. Ready? So, Rich Paul, they have 30 active players, 5 All-Stars, and he's number 2 ranking-wise for agents, according to this website.
That's insane. We'll have to get more into that as the story develops. But we're flipping the script here to the gridiron. And I don't know where to begin with this segment. The Giants, that game against the Rams was brutal.
Do we have to talk about it?
TJ, at least you weren't there in person. The ceremony was very...
Do we have to talk about it?
We have to keep our composure here and report the sports. But yeah, that game against the Rams was brutal. Tony getting hurt, Thomas getting hurt. Our offense right now is creating their own infirmary. There's a lot to speculate with this Giants team. A lot to speculate. And TJ, me and you, I'd like to think for the most part, when it comes to the Giants, we agree with stuff. But lately, my opinion about this has shifted a little bit. And I'm curious to see what you think. Obviously, at the end of the season, we both agree that Gettleman and Garrett need to go. But how do you feel about cleaning house completely, saying bye to Graham and saying goodbye to Judge?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I don't want to see them go. They've kind of been torn apart by injuries. I don't want to kick them out yet. But as Joe Judge said today, like, it wasn't the same analogy, but the captain goes down with the ship. So like, he's in it no matter what. And with the way the season's been going, I'm still confident with Joe Judge. He's proven to me that he's still someone to at least keep around for another year. I just hope that they can get some wins. That's all I really, really need.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think a lot of the injuries, it's hurt. But here's where I stand with it. There's a philosophy that he's developed, or that he's attempted to develop, which is buy into my system. I'm old school, and we're going to play some hard-nosed football. And I'm just not seeing that. We're not playing man coverage on defense. I just don't see that aggressiveness that I thought that he was going to provide. And that's why I'm having a hard time with him sticking around. Because what are we as fans buying into? What is making Joe Judge want to stick? Yeah, we know that he's a coach that doesn't put up with crap. Great. He'll be able to contain Tony a little better. He likes to play old school. Okay. He likes the tough, hard-nosed football. But that also could hurt, because a lot of these coaches today, like the coach for the Cardinals, I'm drawing a blank with his name. Cliff something?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury, thank you. Kevin Stefanski, Sean McVay. These guys are young coaches who are getting so creative with their system, and I'm not seeing that with Judge. I'm seeing him being stubborn, and I'm seeing him stick to his guns, and I think it's going to hurt him in the long run, because I think he's going to run out of whatever recipe he's using, and then it's just going to flop even more. So I'm mixed. The other question that I have for you, TJ.
I have to agree on you with that point, though, just real quick. I think I'd wish like, I do like he's sticking to his guns. Don't get me wrong. I like that in a coach. But I do agree that he has to change something.
Yeah.
Give in a little bit. Like, chip off a little bit of that wall that he built around the Giants football that he wants and make it more of what the Giants need.
Exactly. I mean, there's just little things that I don't understand. Jabril Peppers, his play time has decreased tremendously. And I don't know what's going on with that. Some of it has to do with injury, but this is a captain. Not only a captain, but he's a very athletic safety. He can be used with special teams and defense. So I have no clue what's going on there, but that's getting off track. My other question before we talk about the other New York football team is after this game, and even after the LPG interview, because I'll admit, I was riding high on Daniel Jones after that interview. Has your feelings about him changed a little bit? Do you still have potential with him? Do you see the franchise quarterback title fading? I mean, or are you still pretty neutral about him?
I'm in the same boat as you. I was kind of riding high on Danny Dimes. I still am, but I'm leaning more into like there's like the neutral, there's the sure, and then there's the very sure. I'm kind of drifting back in the sure category. I like, to be fair, yeah, he didn't have anywhere near the talent that he usually has against the Rams, but it's still no excuse. You should still be able to make do with what you got. And I just didn't see that. I hope that I can stay at least on this level with him. I hope he stays consistent. I don't want to see any decline from what we've already seen this season. Because he's shown his promise when he's needed to. He stepped up in big, big shoes in some games. But he just needs to be consistent with it. And that just goes into more with the offense and how the offense is run. But that, again, is a story for another time.
Exactly. And I think that's very fair. I'm giving him a little leeway because of the tremendous amount of injuries, not even what's happened this season or what's happened in the past few games, but beginning of the season, before the season. So game against Carolina on Sunday, the goal should be to pressure Sam Darnold. I think if we can contain him and we can actually play defense in the air, we should be good, but who knows? This offense is going to look very interesting. I think Slayton, Shepard, Tony, Galladay, and Ingram will most likely all be inactive, and CJ Board too. And I even saw something that John Ross was working with a trainer.
It might be easier for you to say who's going to be active instead of trying to name everyone who's inactive.
I couldn't tell you, Josh.
Yeah, we might run out of time on the episode if we
Devonta Booker and
sit down and talk injuries
and Rudolph. Booker and Rudolph, that's all I know. But go Giants. Let's see if we can get that dub. But time to talk about the other New York team. The New York Jets, coming off a bye week, playing their rivals, the Pats. Round two of this matchup. Last game was rough, but I'm optimistic about this Jets team going into this week. I am. Corey Davis tweeted out that there's a different vibe about this team. I think Zach Wilson is a young and hungry quarterback. I think this could be a good game, but I'm going to let the Jets fan himself take it away. Give us your insight for this upcoming game.
Feels good to be called the Jets fan. I like that. That's a good intro. I want to be optimistic, but I'm also realistic. Patriots have had our number for the past decade plus, so it's tough to be super optimistic heading into Foxborough. But look, Jets have had their moments there.
We all know Bart Scott 10 years ago, what happened in New England. So who knows? Wilson could have his moment then. He's due for a big moment. Corey Davis is in the locker room with these guys. He knows what he's talking about. So for him to say that there's a different vibe coming off the bye week, everyone is even more motivated and even more bought in than they were before, definitely speaks volumes. And now we just got to wait and see how they perform on Sunday. I do see some positive coming from the first loss to New England heading into this week, and just witnessing the Jets play in person at their only win. It looked like Wilson had a real comfort zone where he scrambles out of the pocket. So they're going to obviously try to allow him to roll out more and throw on the run, because when he was on the run, he was able to hit those deep balls to Corey Davis, Crowder, Keelan Cole, all his targets. So if the Jets could establish their run early with Michael Carter and allow for play action passes, that'll allow Wilson to roll out more and throw on the run and let him be comfortable without needing to, without allowing him to like set his feet and throw, because that's not his strong suit just yet. So I am looking forward to the game. I'm prepared for the worst. I'm prepared for the usual Jets heading into New England beat down, but then again, Brady isn't there. Mac Jones is not Tom Brady, no matter what awesome people like to say. He just isn't. He's just not Tom Brady. I'm really not too impressed with Belichick as a coach ever since Brady left. I'm leaning towards the side where Brady was the reason that they were so successful, not Belichick. But that'll be for another time. So who knows? We'll have to report next week. And we'll take it from there.
I like it. Optimistic, but not unrealistic. I like it. And regardless, we can all suffer together as New York fans. But I'd like to see if the Giants don't win this season at all anymore, which I don't think will happen. I think we will get a win. I think we will get a win or two or three.
You'll play Washington. You'll play Philly. You still have divisional games to win.
I'm still a little salty about that.
The Knicks, it's Knicks and Nets season.
Exactly. But I hope the Jets get a win. So go New York regardless. Before we wrap up the show, we have our infamous Start'em Sit'em segment. We tell you who you think you should start and sit in fantasy. I'm not even going to get into last week because it was a very rough week for me in fantasy. I went 0-3. I didn't do well starting sitting guys regardless. So let's consider last week a wash. So this week's a new week. So here are my two guys to start. And the first guy is a guy that was mentioned not too long ago. The running back for the Jets, Michael Carter. I think he should be a Start'em this week. He has been one of the hottest guys on this offense. He's young. He's a dual threat. I think, you know, they're obviously going to do what they can to pressure Corey Davis, give Zach Wilson a little trouble in the run game. I think Michael Carter is a great start. Would not have him at running back one, but two or flex, absolutely. Expect him to put up a touchdown or two. He's been the most consistent with scoring with this Jets team. And he gets a good amount of run yards too. Even with the banged up line that the Jets have, he makes a nice attempt to get an average of 5-6 yards. So Michael Carter, start him. And the other guy I'm going to start, and Josh, you better be listening because I know you've struggled with him, Jaylen Waddle.
Did you say bench Jaylen Waddle?
Oh, no, baby. I'm saying start him. Went off last week with the rumors.
On my bench.
With the rumors swirling around about a potential new quarterback in Miami, I think that could increase his stock even more. But regardless, I like Waddle. I think he's really coming into his own. I think he's a great deep threat, and he can definitely be a huge boost in the number two position or the flex position. So start Waddle, start Carter. They're young, they're hungry, they're in the AFC East, and they're looking to boost their stats. I'm going to pass the mic now to our special guest host, Mr. Hummel. Who are we starting this week?
Alrighty. So my first start this week, I had told Fromm earlier, but Jacoby Myers.
I like that a lot.
The Jets defense has been pretty good this season when it comes to locking down receivers. And Fromm, you can correct me, or rather fill the names in with the start with their players who they have back. But Jacoby Myers is the highest targeted receiver on the Patriots. The next closest only has 30. And at least he's had at least 10 fantasy points in 4 out of his 6 games so far. So I'd say he's a pretty solid start this week, even considering that Jets defense. And my second start this week is Zach Ertz for the Cardinals.
That's just weird. Say that again. You gotta let that
Zach again. Ertz.
For the
I'll be like Steve and get really close. Zach Ertz.
You gotta say no, add on the team, because it's weird to hear you said the Cardinals. I'm not used to that yet.
Oh yeah. I'm not either. But Zach Ertz, he's the newest addition to that Cardinals offense. And first things first, that Cardinals offense is not something to be taken lightly. They have so many weapons. And they use them game in, game out. D-Hop, Kyler is the weapon in and of itself, just to name a few. And their opponent this week is the Houston Texans. We all know that Houston has struggled mightily so far this season. Their last two road games alone, they were outscored 71-3 from both the Colts and the Tennessee Titans, if I'm not mistaken.
Buffalo.
That's right. It was the Bills. Bills are fun to watch as well. But there's a road game this week for Houston again. I don't see it as Houston winning. They may make it interesting at some point, but Zach Ertz is a solid lock for Sunday.
I like both of those. I've been a fan of Jacoby Myers since last season. I think he's a very athletic receiver, and multiple people have told me he's got the best chemistry with Mac Jones. And Zach Ertz, I'd like to see him do well. I was a fan, despite him being an Eagle, he was one of my favorite tight ends in the league at one point. He was part of that Super Bowl team. So I'd like to see him pick up some of that magic in Arizona. Solid picks, TJ. Mr. Fromwitz, you're up.
Thank you, Castle. Castle, I'm actually going to ask you to unmute yourself because I have a question for you.
Well, ask away.
It's a holiday this weekend. You know what holiday it is in football?
If my calendar says it correctly, it's National Tight End Day.
Oh, yes, it is. So I got two tight ends for you to start in fantasy this week.
Oh, baby, let's hear it.
I know you're going to be excited about one of them. Actually, both of them. I know you have both of these tight ends. The first one is Robert Tonyan of the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
So for those who have him, he might just be sitting in free agency because he hasn't been doing well at all this year. But he's got a favorable matchup against Washington this year. And we're all used to Washington's defense from last year being this beast of a team led by Chase Young and all their other guys that they have up front. And they get to the quarterback. They'll still rack up their sacks, but they allow a lot of points. They're ranked 27th in fantasy points, averaging 1.2 points a game, which I'm not a mathematician, but I know 1.2 points is not a lot. DJ, you're the mathematician. Can you confirm 1.2 points is not a lot?
Can confirm 1.2 is definitely not a lot.
Thank you. So Washington's defense has allowed 30 or more points in their last 5 games and 20 or more in all of their games. So their defense gives up a lot of points, a lot of yards. Robert Tonyan started the year slow last year. And it wasn't until this time last year where he broke out. National Tight End Day was a great weekend for him last year, where he broke out with this 4-touchdown game against Minnesota on Sunday Night Football. I remember watching it. It was crazy. I expect something similar with him this year. It's crazy how many quarterbacks really enjoy getting their tight ends involved on National Tight End Day. It seems like that is the spark for all tight ends to end up having a great year if they start slow. So Robert Tonyan is a perfect example of someone to start on National Tight End Day. And the other Castle, I hope you're listening, because this one you're going to be excited about. Yep, move closer to the camera for this one.
Amalie.
It's none other than the tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, Mr. Gator himself, Kyle Pitts.
Finally.
Music to your ears, I'm aware. So Kyle Pitts had struggled up until the London game against the Jets. The Falcons really haven't been able to figure out what his role is, but it seemed like something clicked with Calvin Ridley out, and he's just this giant freak of an athlete that put him in the slot, put him on the outside, put him at a tight end position. Doesn't really matter. Just get him the ball. And that's what they did. He had 10 catches, over 100 yards, a couple touchdowns. He was unstoppable. Castle beat me in fantasy, partially because of Kyle Pitts' 28-point performance. I was mad, but I knew it was coming with Kyle Pitts because he couldn't be kept quiet for so long. There's too much talent. This week, he's playing the Miami Dolphins, and their defense is a little banged up, but they still have studs in the secondary. Xavien Howard, Byron Jones. They're going to be locking down Calvin Ridley because Calvin Ridley is no scrub in this league. Linebackers are injured for Miami, so there's going to be opportunities for Kyle Pitts to shine with no real defense watching him. When Matt Ryan needs a little dump off across the middle or on the outside, he's going to be looking for his 6'6", 240-pound freak athlete, Kyle Pitts. So those are my two starts. Happy National Tight End Day. I'm sure those two will be balling on Sunday this weekend.
Happy National Tight End Day indeed. Very solid. I'm hoping Kyle Pitts can somewhat repeat what he did in London. Tonyan, if he could even get 10 points, I'll be happy. But solid picks. Now time to reveal our picks for the guys to ride the bench. My first one is running back for the Detroit Lions, Jamal Williams. I have him in another league. He's been kind of slumping lately. I believe they're the only winless team left this season. Someone can double check that, but 0-6 going up against the 5-1 Rams. I just don't like the matchup. We all know who's on that defensive line and who's going to tear it up. They'll probably be...
Ask the New York Football Giants in case you don't know.
Exactly. Thank you. They'll be feeding your guy DeAndre Swift probably more. So if you have Jamal Williams as a flex or a running back too, not a good week. And the other guy that I'm saying to sit, now I understand that he's rostered in about 98 to 99% of leagues, and I know that he's a top guy, but if you look at how he's done in the past 2 weeks and you look at the injury he's dealing with, he's a risk. I'm even considering benching him, and that's Terry McLaurin. Questionable right now with a hamstring injury. He was limited from practice today. He did not participate in practice Wednesday. The only thing that's looking scary about Terry is if he's going to play to his full potential on Sunday. Playing on the road against Lambeau, we all know that Lambeau is one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for, intimidating football arenas in all of the game. Taylor Heineke, it's definitely going to rattle him a little bit. So I wouldn't say start him. Now, if you absolutely have to, and it's between him and a guy like Hunter Renfrow, for example. No dig at Renfrow. He's a great flex, but he's not a guy that can fill in at two. If it's between Terry and him, obviously you got to stick with Terry. But if you really can bench him, I think this is the week to do it. I do think he'll have a bounce back, but I don't have a feeling about him going into this week. And those are all my picks for this week, for starting and sitting. TJ, who do you think should be riding the bench?
All right. My first bench warmer here. I mean, it won't be a shock to Stevie probably, but Darnell Mooney. I would say sit him this week. He's been struggling with the Chicago Bears. He's only found the end zone once so far this season. I'm not super confident in him. And Tampa's defense has had its ups and downs, but it's the Bears after all. My second sit this week may be a shock to some, but J.D. McKissic. I would say sit him this week. He hasn't been able to find the end zone so far this season. He's gotten carries, but he just hasn't been utilized. Green Bay's defense has been solid enough to keep them in games. And like you said, Castle, on the road in Lambeau is a really harsh and intimidating environment to play in. Those are my sits this week.
Both solid. Darnell Mooney has been very streaky, so I think that's a solid one. And I think McKissic is a solid one too. I know you said it. Who's McKissic with again these days?
He's with Washington.
That's right. He's the backup to Gibson. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Very solid. Very solid. All right, Josh, for the grand finale, you did well so far with your first two. Let's see if you can keep riding that wave. Who are we sitting?
It's only fitting that I go against TJ's pick. I got to give Stevie something to have hope in. So my first sit, I'm benching Leonard Fournette, and I really like Chicago's defense, and I know Stevie does too. So Stevie, this one's for you, buddy. Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks. Those are some big boys up there. And it's no surprise why Chicago's defense is keeping them in ball games. They are number two in run defense, only behind Tampa Bay, which this is going to be an interesting game because something's got to give. And I think for Brady to be successful, it's going to be airing the ball out because the secondary is Chicago's weakness. Got plenty of weapons, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, you name it. He's got everything. But I think it's going to be the week where Leonard Fournette struggles heavily because there's really no lanes with the Chicago Bears defense. We've got some big boys up front. Khalil Mack is one of, if not the best linebacker in the league. Roquan Smith is having a career year and a heck of a resurgence. I really do like this defense, and it's no surprise why Steve has hope in them because of their defense. So my first sit is Leonard Fournette, and my second is Brandon Cooks, wide receiver for the Houston Texans. And he's playing the Arizona Cardinals this week. And, okay, we talked about it earlier. We expect them to lose. Arizona is 6-0. Zach Ertz is coming there. It's all happy there. But people aren't talking enough about their defense, which is the reason why they're 6-0. Yes, everyone talks about Kyler Murray, but in reality, we've been taught this at a young age. Defense wins championships. Acquisition of J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, Byron Murphy, Buda Baker. I could keep going on. They have so many guys on this defense that make them unstoppable. Byron Murphy, Buda Baker, two of the youngest stars in this league. And it's going to be a challenge for Houston receivers to get open. Now, Brandon Cooks is no scrub, and he's having a great year. But Davis Mills is just – he's not their quarterback of the future. I don't know how he's going to be able to avoid the pressure of J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, two of the best pass rushers definitely this year, if not in a long time. So those are my two sits. I think it's going to be a bloodbath in Arizona. And Stevie, I got some optimism in your defense. So that's it.
That Leonard Fournette sit, though, I'm very, very shocked. He's been hot lately.
Yes, so, he has. Yes, he has.
And you're giving the Bears good amount of credit. I like that pick a lot.
Hey, hot streaks are don't last forever. And I do think they'll try to force the run with Fournette, but the lanes won't be open. Brady will see something will work, and that'll be the passing game. Antonio Brown has been one of the hottest receivers in the league, having touchdowns in like each of his last three or four games. Mike Evans had an off week last week. They're going to try to get him involved. So I think it's going to be a Brady shootout with his arm.
Good. That's what I need to hear. Brady's been a great fantasy quarterback for me. So good. And Brandon Cooks, my opinion, he hasn't been on a lot of people's radars since he played for the Saints. Maybe his time for the Rams, but nah. I think that's good. So great picks for both of you guys. And with the conclusion of the segment, we conclude this episode. But before we do, we'd like to give our thank yous as always. Shout out to Wild Chat Sports and Kevin, our partners, continuing to do a great job. They're doing great content. Go check out their Instagram. A lot of good different stuff. They're constantly popping out interviews with great guests. So go check them out. And a super, super special thank you to our head of social media, TJ, for not only his continued work with our Instagram at the 3P podcast, but for filling in today. He got the call up and he did a great job as co-host. So TJ, thank you for all the work that you do for the 3P. Very fortunate to have you as part of the team.
You're going to make me cry. Stop it. But it's always a pleasure. Like I said, it's always a good time with you guys. It's been a pleasure being able to run the social media. It's kind of where I tend to shine my light, if you will. And as Fromwitz mentioned, I'm also the mathematician and the stat man. So what's next for me? I don't know.
A man of many hats. Tune into next week's episode to see which hat TJ tries on next. But speaking of next episode, continue to tune in. We got our podcast on Spotify, on Anchor. You need to find our show. You know where it is. So the link is in our and Apple too. We're also on Apple. We're everywhere. You can't escape us. So find us. If you need to look for our link for our show, it is on our Instagram at the 3P podcast. And thank you all for joining and continue to listen. We're on episode 8, but that doesn't mean that we're done yet. We still got guests lined up. We still got new segments coming with the basketball season. So it's going to be good. So stay tuned, guys. Thank you and have a good night.